Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 98. In this episode, I'll discuss whether there is a pro-ketamine bias in the free open access medical education community. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode98. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. And also at the top of the show notes, I have a new poll if you'd like to help me pick the title for my new book about inpatient medical emergencies for pharmacists. With some help from everyone in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group, I've got three titles and subtitles there to vote on. And of course, there's a spot for you to add an other if you don't like any of the three that I have there. Ketamine is a uniquely useful drug. I discussed the use of ketamine in critical care in episode 16. Ketamine checks a lot of boxes and fills a lot of niches. Analgesia? Check. Sedation? Check. Respiratory drive maintained? Check. Neutral to positive cardiovascular effect? Check. Ketamine is a very popular subject within the free open access medical education world on Twitter. When I asked on Twitter whether ketamine in inpatient critical care was underutilized or overrated, I got a lopsided result. 77 people responded to the poll, and 90% said that ketamine was underutilized. Not everyone in the FOMED community has such a high opinion of ketamine. There was an anesthesiologist, Vincent Kopp, that I did have a discussion with on Twitter, and his conclusion was, how about avoid ketamine? The neurotoxic potential for this NMDA antagonist is real. Why cover it up with benzodiazepines? Now, all this leads me to wonder, is there a pro-ketamine bias within the FOMED community? Here's another discussion on Twitter. At Luigi's Dad asked about using ketamine and what dose to use for an anxious asthmatic patient with the goal of avoiding intubation. Now, I think ketamine would be a fine induction agent for a patient with asthma, but psychiatric distress from ketamine would have the potential to make things worse, not better, if the patient was anxious and intubation was to be spared. Dexmedetomidine might do a better job providing anxiolytic properties without compromising respiratory drive. And it turns out that this Twitter user at Luigi's Dead did in fact use dexmedetomidine for the patient successfully to treat the anxiety without causing a respiratory compromise. Ketamine seems to consistently have excellent efficacy, but increased side effects when compared to other treatments. And I have a few examples linked up in the show notes. Again, that's pharmacyjoe.com/episode98. In one example, ketamine is shown to be as effective as morphine for analgesia in emergency department patients, but that came with an increased incidence of minor side effects in the ketamine group. And ketamine works faster than haloperidol to control acutely agitated pre-hospital patients, but it causes more complications and increases the need for intubation. In fact, in this study, 39% of the patients in the ketamine group versus only 5% in the Haldol group needed to be intubated. Even ketamine's main advantages, lack of respiratory depression and lack of hypotension, are not true in all instances. When ketamine is given via rapid IV push, periods of apnea can occur. And when ketamine is given to patients with shock who have depleted catecholamine stores, hypotension can occur. A recent article put the risk of hypotension associated with ketamine given for RSI induction to be 26% in patients with a high shock index. And the shock index is simply the heart rate divided by the systolic blood pressure. While respiratory depression and hypotension are both manageable conditions, they can be disastrous if they occur when the team is not prepared to handle them. Thinking that ketamine is completely without risk of respiratory depression or hypotension could instill a false sense of security that might leave clinicians underprepared. Then why is ketamine widely discussed among the FOMED community on blogs and Twitter? Why would the quote, "the answer is always ketamine," go over so well at a conference finale as it did recently at Smacked Up? I think the reason is, with the use of social media for medical education, we are all effectively sitting in the same lounge or walking together in the same hallway. We're discussing our difficult or our fringe cases where the traditional first-line therapy was either ineffective or contraindicated. And those are the cases where ketamine shines, and those are the cases that make the best blog posts, podcasts, and tweets. Just remember that in these discussions, there is no editorial board, and you are the peer reviewer. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.